I want to start our time together today with a thanksgiving blessing to the Lord for bringing us to be with each other in Christian unity, to engage in fellowship, to rejoice in the participation of praise songs, to be in solitude of prayer, and to diligently listen to the proclamation of His Word. Those in the pews and those who have joined us online come with a dedicated heart to hear today's sermon message entitled, Walk in a Manner Worthy. Please allow me to, at this time, open with an opening prayer. Lord, high and holy, meek and lowly, Thou hast brought me to the valley of vision, where I live in the depths, but I see Thee in the heights. Hemmed in by the mountains of sin, I behold Thy glory. Let me learn the paradox that the way down is the way up, that to be low is to be high, that the broken heart is the healed heart, that the contrite spirit is the rejoicing spirit, that the repenting soul is the victorious soul, that to have nothing is to possess all, that to bear the cross is to wear the crown, that to give is to receive, that the valley is the place of vision. Lord, let me find Thy light in my darkness, Thy life in my death, Thy joy in my sorrow, Thy grace in my sin, Thy riches in my poverty, and Thy glory in my valley. Amen. Before I start the message of today, it occurred to me that some of you that know me may be wondering why I'm wearing a tie. I typically don't do that. I wear the tie out of respect for this blessing that I've received to proclaim a message today. But a while back, I thought about why in the world would men wear ties? And the thought occurred to me that several years ago, a group of men got together at a conference, and they were all shoe manufacturers. And the discussion was, well, how can we increase our sales? And one young man stood up and he said, what if we, for women, put heels, high heels, on their shoes and call it a fashion statement? Now, it may be uncomfortable, but maybe they'd be foolish enough to wear these high heels. And sure enough, over time, women were wearing high heels, and they had difficulty walking sometimes. Well, after not so long after that, women were pretty annoyed at the men. And so they got together, and they said, okay, they gave us a fashion statement. What if we can give them a fashion statement? And so there was some discussion, and one woman stood up and said, men are so foolish, let's tell them that they will be in fashion if they take a piece of cloth and wrap it around their neck. That'll restrict them. And then there was this other lady that had a real nasty look on her face. And she said, not only that, let's make them tie it in a knot and move it all the way up to their throat where they can't breathe. Now, I don't know whether that's a true story or not, but that's why I don't wear a tie very often. Well, today I intend to bring forth a twofold focus, Today I intend to bring a two-fourth focus for our consideration. First, the importance of dedicating ourselves to live and walk by the Spirit. And secondly, to walk in a manner worthy of God, Jesus, the gospel, the kingdom, and our calling. As I investigated the five worthy walks, I found it interesting that the Holy Spirit was not included in a manner of walking worthily. Scripture reveals a worthy walk associated with the Father and the Son and the gospel and the kingdom and our calling, but not the Spirit. I pondered about this, and it struck me that we first must walk in and by the Spirit so that the Spirit then will enable us to walk in a worthy manner. We have no ability to do that on our own. Without the Spirit's initial work, we would not have the opportunity to avail ourselves to pursue worthiness. We as Christians have received the blessed gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit, who imparts upon us wisdom, power, illumination of the Word, guidance and service, care, instruction, protection, correction, all combining together to give us purpose to the life that Jesus has given us as new creatures, abiding in Him and He in us. Our spiritual response to these great gifts should be to live in a manner and pursuit of spiritual excellence. So now let us turn to the Word of God. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5, two verses concerning the Spirit. He says in verse 25, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." And again in verse 16, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh." Living by the Spirit is a desire to look to the heavenly, not to the worldly. It is a choice to live in the world for the days the Lord has given us, but to no longer be of the world. Walking by the Spirit is a dedicated daily surrender to His will. It is an acknowledgement that we have no sufficiency within ourselves, and our dependence must be on the Godhead to live a fruitful life with and for Jesus. We must take caution that we don't lag behind the Spirit, nor walk so far ahead of Him that we lose sight of Him. Walking means to keep in step with Him at a pace He chooses to lead us. The Christian cannot live the Christian life by his own resources any more than he could have saved himself by his own initiative. Let me repeat that. The Christian cannot live the Christian life by his own resources any more than he could have saved himself by his own initiative. Holiness comes only from the Holy Spirit and does not come from our performance for God, but from Him through us by His Spirit. Walk is used here in the present tense, indicating a continuous and habitual way of living. It also implies progress, going from where we are to where the Lord will bring us. The believer who is led by the Spirit must be willing to go where the Spirit guides him and to do what the Spirit leads him to do, to claim surrender to the Holy Spirit, but not be personally involved in God's work, is to call Jesus Lord, Lord, and not do what he says. Our walk is to be a continual consciousness of Jesus' presence and will. There are times when a Christian's lives either by the Spirit or functioning in fleshly desire, but never at the same time. Life walk by the Spirit is patterned after the teaching and example of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we walk as Christians, let us spend time in His Word. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 7:17, as the Lord has assigned to each one, in this matter let him walk. The direction of walk appears to be not the same for everyone, for each Christian has received gifts differing from the others. Let us each seek his own walk and accept it with gratitude and appreciation. Let us look each day to the work that Jesus is doing around us and accept that as an invitation and join in that particular work that may be different from others. Each Christian has received spiritual gifts that may differ from one another, and our direction perhaps differs from others as well, and as the Lord has assigned us, should be joyfully followed. Christians should be willing to accept the situation into which God has placed him and be content to serve there. Christ made it clear that he did not come to instigate an external social revolution, but rather he came to seek and save the lost. The primary purpose of the gospel of Christ Jesus is to change people, not society. Its focus is on the inward change, not the outward. The gospel is intended not to revolutionize social institutions, but to revolutionize hearts. God's primary purpose for his church is for his members to evangelize, to change the world through spiritual regeneration, not social revolution. Apostle John tells us in his epistle, 1 John 2:6, the one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. In the first incarnation of Christ Jesus, he left us many examples of how to live our lives. Many, if not all, are contrary to the ways of the world. Let us call upon the Spirit of God for his help, for us to accomplish a manner of life with wisdom and courage and dedication. And now may we turn to Scripture's exhortation to those areas we are to walk in a manner worthy. First one is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. That you should walk in a manner worthy of God. I'd like to just take a moment and bring forth a story of a blessing that I received, although I didn't necessarily see it at the time. In the mid-90s, I had a horse at the stable, and I used to go riding. And I was in my 50s, and I was with a group of men that were much more experienced in riding than I was. And they were in their 60s, 70s. And they called me the kid. I think I was their mascot, although I didn't know it at the time. Anyway, after we got done writing, we'd come back, we'd sit down at the table, and we'd start talking. And being kind of the young guy, I kind of held back. Well, also, there was a guy who lived very close to the stables by the name of Mike. He'd come over and he'd sit with us. And he was a very interesting man. Apparently, his work was working in Hollywood, and he was a personal friend of Lou Abbott, or I think Abbott and Costello. And he told fascinating stories. Now, I'd been a Christian maybe a year at that time. And Mike was the type of guy that he could use the phrase, GD it, as a noun, a verb, a pronoun, an adjective. He could string the whole thing together in a sentence and make sense. And so we're sitting around talking, and I turned to him, and being kind of the young guy, because he was about 25 years my senior, I said, Mike, I really don't appreciate you using the term GD it, because it offends a holy God. And he looked at me very puzzled, and he said, what do you mean? I said, I know God personally, and he doesn't like you using that term. And he looks at me and goes, you know God personally? And I looked back at him with a serious look. I said, yes, I do. And his response to me was, well, I'll be damned. I didn't see the irony of that truth. Perhaps one of my best and first evangelical efforts. I'll be damned. Okay, back to the text. So, that you would walk worthy in the manner of God. We are to pursue excellence and not settle for mediocrity. Think of what we settle for in our society today. Not in a spiritual way. He is Almighty God, our Creator. Let us remember we are to strive to live spiritual lives focused on the advancement in our Christian maturity, and that our walk refers to our daily conduct as we live in the world. Our daily conduct as we live in the world, not of the world. Secondly, we find Paul writing in Colossians 1:10, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. We must accept Jesus' lordship if we are to accept his saviorship. A mind controlled by spiritual knowledge, wisdom, and understanding assists in producing a life worthy of the Lord. We should be filled with the utmost gratitude that God has not left us to our own resources for walking a worthy walk. For Christ dwells in us in the person, in his person, and the Holy Spirit. However, there are several features we must consider in pursuit of our walk. A walk in humility, purity, contentedness, by faith, in good works, being different from the world, to walk in his light, in his love, and his truth. Thirdly, we find in Philippians 1:27, Paul writes, only conduct yourselves worthy of the gospel of Christ. So we've talked about the Father, we've talked about the Son, and now we're going to talk about the gospel of Christ. What I've found in my time in Scripture is the good news provides a complete template to live by. And we'd be foolish not to use it and follow it. Worthy of the gospel means to live a life consistent with God's revealed word. If that's a true statement, how can we do that if we're not in his word consistently? It means living with integrity in every facet of life, demonstrated by walking in and by the will of Christ Jesus. When Christians live below the standards of biblical morality and reverence for the gospel of the Lord, they compromise the full biblical truth concerning the character, plan, and will of God. By doing so, they seriously weaken the credibility of the gospel. When the unsaved look at the church and do not see holiness, purity, and virtue, there appears no reason to believe the gospel that it proclaims. Our security is found in God's message, is found in Romans 1:16. The power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Jesus' gospel should demonstrate that power in a Christian by their changed life. Taking off the old every day, putting on the new. I read recently, Christians need to live by conviction, not compromise. Let me repeat that. We as Christians need to live by conviction, not compromise. What does the world propagate? Compromise. Not so with Jesus. For he said in Scripture, you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, division. It's not compromise. Fourthly, we find in 2 Thessalonians 1:5 that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God. Our true citizenship awaits us in heaven. Let us live on earth with the heavenly gifts now. Matthew 6:33 sets the tone and direction. Jesus' command to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Seek first. Each of us, and I'm at the top of the list, I need to examine my focus daily. Through his purging, chastening, purifying work in the Christian life, God prepares us to be worthy of the kingdom. Let us not neglect to submit ourselves to this preparedness. Worthiness of the kingdom comes with a price. Suffering before glory. Luke tells us in Acts 14:22, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom. In the good providence of God, suffering is often a means of working out God's eternal purposes. Let us never forget, God did not spare his Son so that he could spare us. As such, the Christians must live out his life and develop a Christian character in a world which is dominated by non-Christian ideas. Suffering is not to be thought of as evidence that God has forsaken us, but as evidence that God is with us. And lastly, we find Paul reveals in Ephesians 4:1, walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Just came upon me move away from calling. There was a time several years ago I was worried about knowing what my spiritual gift is, because part of being called is to use that spiritual gift. And I remember standing on the deck, this got to be 15 years ago, with Pastor Red. He was a pastor here at that time. And I was concerned. I said, Pastor, I really don't know what my gift is. And I know I have opportunities to do certain things, but I don't know whether that's my gift. And he simply looked at me and said, Jack, remember this, the most important thing. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit indwelling in you if you're a Christian, which you are. Because you have the Holy Spirit, He'll bring you to use every other gift He's given you to do. That gave me so much relief at that time that I don't really ponder specific gifts as listed in Scripture. I rely on the Spirit. So let me get back to this fifth one. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling in which you have been called. As one progresses in the faith, God may choose to alter our calling. Stay alert to change. I look back in my Christian life, which has only been, I think, 23 years, and I'm a little bit older than 23. And what I found is, as my physical strengths aren't what they used to be, I have limitations. But the beauty is not such that I experienced that, but God has changed what He gave me to do 20 years ago that I can't do today, and has given me other opportunities, such as standing before you today. I don't have to paint, I don't have to lift, I just need to stand here and deliver a message. And so I would encourage all of us, stay alert to the change that God may bring upon you. Paul, the Apostle Paul, saw everything vertically before he saw it horizontally. His motives were Christ, his standards were Christ, his objectives were Christ, his vision was Christ, and his orientation was Christ. We are to walk in a way that fittingly corresponds to our being children of God. Every Christian should have a loving concern to entreat and implore others to respond in obedience to the gospel. We can know it, we can believe it, or say we believe it, but are we obedient to it? Calling in the Greek is referred to the Lord's sovereign, effectual call for salvation. That is why our calling is a high calling, a heavenly calling, and a holy calling. That is why the faithful, responsive Christian is determined to press on to the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ that Paul wrote in Philippians. One additional point of consideration. We find in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul writes, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, but understand what the will of God is. To walk in wisdom as a Christian means they are to live like the people they are. The moment one is saved, every believer has been made wise. 1 Corinthians 1:30 tells us that we are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. The moment we were saved, we became a repository of wisdom, and henceforth renders us responsible for our behavior. In wisdom, we are to grow in practice what we already are positionally. Let me repeat that. We are to grow in practice in what we already are positionally. The Greek word for carefully has a basic meaning of accurate and exact. It carries the associated idea of looking, examining, and investigating something with great care. To the extent that we do not accept any part of God's word, to that extent, we are foolish. The first way a believer plays the fool is not believing God completely. He believes God for salvation, but does not continue to believe Him in and for everything else, especially His Lordship. So we have a choice, to believe God completely or to believe only what we understand and thereby share a partial Christianity, which really doesn't exist. Let us choose His wisdom. As I come to the end of the time of this message, I have 3 points of application for your consideration. First, make the Holy Spirit your chief counselor and follow Him all the days of your life. Pursue responding to your spiritual gifts to be received in a manner worthy of all that God is. Seek to live a life of God's comfort through the peace and joy of our Lord Jesus Christ. I offer now a benediction found in 2 Thessalonians 3. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ. Now may the Lord of peace Himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. And I close in prayer now. Holy Father, thank you for today's message delivered only by the power of your Spirit and through the love of your Son. May the words spoken today resound in our hearts and be embraced as part of our Christian character and not a fading memory to be forgotten. Let us understand that without your worthiness, our efforts would be without worth. May this day be a beginning of a new spiritual week with a dedication to seek to grow in our relationship with Jesus, that we might gain more of His love, knowledge of you, and reliance on the Spirit. Amen.